Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, I'm Danielle, the office manager at Striving Together Publications. Striving Together Publications is a ministry committed to providing you with life-changing books and resources. One of my favorite things about working for Striving Together is hearing your stories. Stories of how God has used a book, a CD, or a Sunday school curriculum in your life and ministry. Every day, we rejoice that our resources are helping others to come to Christ and helping Christians grow in their faith. Our online store is filled with resources that will encourage you and those you love. Be sure to visit us at strivingtogether.com, or we would love to talk personally with you. Just call toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Thank you for allowing us to serve you through Striving Together Publications.
Jesus never promised us a perfect or problem-free life, but he did promise us in the midst of the problems and difficulties that we could have abundant life. Next on Daily in the Word, Dr. Chapel explores how we can discover abundant life in Christ. Stay with us. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the teaching and preaching of Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of the West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. This program comes to you every Monday through Friday, and we are currently in a series entitled Abundant Christian Living. We're going to discover afresh and anew how, in difficult times, we can still have the abundant life that Jesus Christ promised us. If you only hear a portion of today's program, or if you'd like to hear recent broadcasts, you can visit us at dailyintheword.org and click on the links to listen to programs on your computer. You can also subscribe to the Daily Podcast and, of no charge, bring that program to your iPod or portable music player. All of that is to be found at dailyintheword.org. But right now, we're going to enter this series, Abundant Christian Living. Pastor, why don't you give us a word of introduction?
When I study the life of Jesus Christ, I am always amazed that Satan himself would tempt the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, God in the flesh. And yet Jesus, I believe, allowed this temptation for one purpose, to show every one of us how to overcome temptation. Today we're turning in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to learn from Jesus how to abound over temptation. I don't know what the devil's been tempting you with lately, but I know there's an answer in the Word of God that will bring victory. Let's see how today.
We are living in a day where each of us face relentless temptations from Satan. Never before has our adversary had such powerful and technological ways of enticing and glamorizing sin and causing men and women to be drawn away from fellowship with God. And it seems as though the devil sells everything with some form of a temptation or some form of sin. Advertising campaigns are launched, and it seems as though the car companies no longer are selling cars, but they're selling power. Like the one commercial where the fella gets pulled over and the police officer looks at him and says, "Oh, it's you, Bob. You go ahead." As if to say, if you buy that car, you're not going to have any problems. You're not going to get a ticket. You're going to be the man with power. And it seems as though that type of mentality is used in the advertising campaigns today. You see an advertisement on the television or in a magazine for Las Vegas. Everyone that you see at Las Vegas is healthy and happy and having a good time. You never see the behind the scenes. You never see the end result. Satan has a way of enticing people with the ways of the world and the sin of this world to make it all look fun and glamorous, when indeed there are always consequences to be paid. Every one of you will face temptation. Every one of us will face temptation. Every single person will face temptation. It seems as though that soft drinks and cars and alcohol cannot be sold without pictures of partially clad women on the advertisement. And every day in this society, men are faced with that type of advertising. I'm saying that the devil is in a major way tempting men and women today and endeavoring to draw you away in your thought life from the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in James 1:14, but every man is tempted. Did you hear that? But every man is tempted when he is drawn away out of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The Bible says every man is tempted when he is enticed. An enticing temptation, and that temptation comes, and then it breeds lust. And when lust hath conceived, the Bible says, it bringeth forth death. If you have a question or you need an illustration, you can go to an AIDS hospice and see a picture of it. Lust hath conceived, and it brought forth sin, and sin hath brought forth death. Someone says, that's not sin, that's an alternative lifestyle. My Bible says it's sin. My Bible says that sin has a consequence. And so temptation commences, temptation continues, and temptation will consume your life if you do not stop and see what God's plan is for avoiding temptation. By the way, just because you're saved does not mean you will not fall into sin. Just because you're saved, the Bible says, let he that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Every man, woman, boy, and girl today needs to understand, regardless of your situation in life, regardless of your background or your age, you will face temptation this week. It may be in different forms for different people, but Satan is in the tempting business. It started back in the book of Genesis, and he's not stopped to this day. How can we abound over temptation? When sin is put forth in multicolor fashion and Dolby stereo sound and all the media seems to pump temptation your way, how can you and I keep clean minds? How can we live pure lives in a day like today? I think that we can find in the passage before us some tremendous lessons to help all of us in this area. Notice, if you will, God's purpose in temptation. The Bible says in verse 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. I've always been amazed at that verse. The Bible says the Spirit of God led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. God's Spirit led him there. Therefore, I must conclude that God had a purpose in this time of temptation. God had a reason. God had a plan for this time of temptation. Now, Christ's temptation proved his deity. His sinlessness, his ability to overcome, proved that he was God. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 15 states, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. The Bible was very plain to show that Jesus Christ went through times of temptation and that he did not sin. Why? Because he is God and he cannot sin. And so the Bible is showing us here the deity of Jesus Christ. And the reason that the Spirit of God led Jesus Christ to this moment in his life was to show to us what a perfect Savior we have. And I mean, when Hollywood portrays my Jesus on the cross, fantasizing and having wicked thoughts, you'd better mark it down that a movie like that is straight from the pit of hell. It is from Satan, the liar and the tempter, and it must be put away, and it must not be seen, and it must not be given credibility by anyone who truly loves Jesus Christ. For the purpose of his temptation was to show us that indeed he did not sin, he did not even contemplate sin, he rebuked the devil forthright. So God had a purpose in this temptation. God has a purpose in our temptation times. God intends for temptation to bring out his strength in us. Paul said, when I am weak, then I am strong. And he was speaking of that inner spiritual strength which only Jesus Christ can give. One very interesting passage found in Romans chapter 7. Paul was giving a testimony about temptation. You know what I like about the Bible? The Bible never glosses over the problems that men had in the Bible. The Bible never tries to make everyone perfect. It tells it just the way it was. Paul in Romans chapter 7 said, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. He was speaking of the struggle that he had in his flesh. He said, the things that I hate, those are the things that I do. The things that I don't want to do, I do those. The things that I want to do, I have trouble doing. He said in verse number 19, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil that I would not, that I do." He said, "I'm struggling." He said, "Sometimes I want to do right, but I don't do it. Sometimes I know what's wrong, but I still do what's wrong." Finally, in verse 24 of Romans chapter 7, he says, "Oh, wretched man that I am." He said, "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" You hear me? Every man or woman that goes the devil's route of temptation, and you're tempted, and you're drawn away, and you sin, whether it be immorality, whether it be alcohol, whether it be pornography, by the time that that sin has conceived, you are saying to yourself, "Oh, wretched man that I am, how could I have done that? Oh, wretched man that I am." And Paul said, "I struggle with that, and I feel like a wretched man, and I don't feel worthy." And he said, "Who will deliver me from this body of death? Who's going to give me the victory over this flesh that I live in? Who's going to help me to have the victory?" And then the answer comes in verse 25, "I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord." And God sometimes puts you in that testing period so that you will learn in that weak moment that Jesus Christ can come alongside of you, and that as you yield to Him, He will make a way of escape, and He will give to you an opportunity to have the victory. You see, temptation is only an opportunity for Jesus Christ to have victory in your life. And as you claim the Word of God and plead the blood of Christ as your victory, you can stand victorious over the devil. And so we see God has a purpose in temptation, and the Holy Spirit led Jesus to be tempted. I'm not saying that every time you're tempted that God led you into that. That's not always the case. But when you find yourself in a time of temptation, you can rest assured that Jesus Christ wants to give you power to overcome that situation. And He wants to give you a way of escape. And He will give you a confidence in Christ that perhaps you never had before that time of victory. But notice with me Satan's plan in temptation. And this, I think, is a key today that we would understand how our adversary works. I remember as a high school student and as a college student playing basketball. And I remember before those important games, we would scout the other team. And I remember we'd scout that other team. They'd say, "All right, watch out for this guy. He likes to drive to the left. He can shoot equally well with right hand or left hand." They'd say, "Watch out for this guy. He could jump real high and get rebounds. You got to box him out." And they'd say, "This fella has this strength and this one has this weakness." And we would study the adversary so that we would know how to play the game. Now look, if you're going to succeed in the Christian life, you're going to know how the devil works. I'm not saying you're going to study him or his powers. I would say stay away from that. But you need to know what he's going to do to try to trip you up. And notice his plan here in verse number 2. "And when he had fasted," that's Jesus, 40 days and 40 nights, "he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.'" Now let's look at Satan's plan. First of all, Satan will come at a time of your weakness. The Bible said that Jesus had fasted, no food, 40 days and 40 nights. And Satan comes and he says, "If thou be the Son of God," which we'll see in a moment, was appealing to the pride of life, if you will. "If thou be the Son of God, then turn these stones into bread," which correlates with the lust or the desire of the flesh. And so I want you to understand about the devil. He will wait until your weakest moment. He will wait until you are away from church. He will wait until you are away from your family. He will wait until you are away from the Bible. He will wait until you are at a moment of weakness, and then he will endeavor to get you to fall, and he'll try to get you to fall to his temptation of sin, whatever it may be. And the devil will wait until you've gone without whatever it is, or until you're far apart from whoever you respect and love, and at that moment he will strike. He'll wait until you haven't had it for 40 days. He'll wait until you've not been able to enjoy whatever it may be. And by the way, the Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. That high will last for a few minutes. That pleasure will last for a few minutes, but the remorse will last a lifetime. And so Satan, we need to know, he comes at your weakest moment. But then let me show you something else. Satan will always question truth. He'll always try to get you to rationalize it. He'll tell you that the articles are real good in Playboy. He'll tell you that you need to be able just to let loose once in a while. and the devil will question truth, whereas you knew it was wrong and it was a cut issue in your mind. Now he begins to get you to rationalize things away and to rationalize the truth away. Notice what he does in verse number 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God." Notice he is continuously questioning the truth. Dear friend, he was, is, and always shall be the Son of God. But Satan says, if you are the Son of God, he'll come into your mind and he'll say, are you really saved? Is the Bible really true? Is it really true that you should avoid this sin, or is that just some man's opinion? He'll come into your mind and begin to tempt and cause question. I'm going back to the book of Genesis in my mind. I'm going back to the time when the serpent, the snake, the devil went to that lady named Eve. And the very first thing that he said to her was, he said, is it true? Yea, hath God said that thou shalt not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? He said, you shall not surely die if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he's telling the same lies today. You'll not die if you go into this lifestyle. You'll not suffer your health problems if you go into this lifestyle. There's nothing wrong with going in and being involved in that particular environment, that bar, that joint, whatever the case may be. It's all right once in a while, and the world seems to be trying to sell us with that philosophy as well. And the devil's business is to question truth. If you're the Son of God, go ahead. He was questioning the very truth that he knew to be true, for he had been cast out of heaven's glory by God the Father for his rebelliousness and wickedness in time past. Satan will come at a time of weakness. Satan will come and question the truth that you have heard and that you have learned. Notice, Satan will continue to come constantly. Temptation will never end until this body is put aside and your new body is received in heaven's glory someday. The Bible says in verse 3, and the tempter came to him. The Bible says in verse 6, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God. Notice again in verse number 9, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. I want you to see something about the devil. He is relentless. He'll attack you one day, he'll attack you the next day. You may get victory on one business trip, but he'll attack you on the next business trip. You may have victory at one newsstand, but he'll attack you at the next one. You may have victory at one shot party, but he'll attack you at the next one. You may have victory in controlling the wrong kind of television one week, but the next week you'll fill your mind with smut. I'm saying he's not going to give up. I'm saying he's going to fight you and come back, whatever the weakness is. Maybe your weakness is a ding-dong or a Hostess cupcake. I don't know. We laugh about it. But with some people, they've made spiritual decisions about their body even in that way. And I'm saying whatever it is, dear friend, Satan is going to fight you at your weakest moment. He's going to question the decisions that you've made even at this altar on Sunday, Wednesday night, and Sunday morning. I know you said you'd read the Bible, and I know you said you'd keep your mind full of God's Word, but hey, here's some stuff I want to put in your mind. There's nothing wrong with it, and you got to relax once in a while. Put the guard down once in a while. And he comes back, and he constantly fights. Oh, I'm thinking of the story of Samson and Delilah. I think of that wicked Delilah and how that she said, tell me the secret of your power. And Samson gave one story. But Delilah found out that was not the secret of his power, for he was still very strong and mighty. Delilah came back. She said, tell me the secret of your power. All of the time, the passion and the temptation was raging. All of the time, Samson was becoming infatuated with her beauty. Finally, after that third try, finally, he said, all right, I'll tell you my power. It is in the vow that I would never cut my hair. And therein lies the strength, because that hair is a sign of my promise to God that I belong only to Him. And the next thing Samson knew was he woke up and, brother, he had a haircut. He was ready for the Marines. But he lost his power. He had lost his power. And the devil wants to rob you of your power and of your confidence and make you feel like you're defeated and make you feel like you're worthless. And he's going to come and tempt you time and time and time and time again. And dear friend, you had better be aware of how the devil works. He's going to fight you constantly. Not only will he come at a time of weakness, not only will he question the truth, not only will he bombard you time and time again, but Satan will make you promises that he can never deliver. Look in verse number 9. And saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now Satan was the prince of the earth, but dear friend, Jesus Christ knew and knows that one day he will be the rightful ruler and owner, and that he will rule this earth literally, as the Bible declares. But Satan was acting as though he had some authority that truthfully he does not have. Satan will give you many promises that he cannot deliver. He'll promise you that if you smoke Marlboro, that you can ride a horse and rope a calf. That you'll be a good-looking guy with a mustache and big muscles. And that you'll just be Mr. Macho. Satan forgets to tell you about lung cancer. He forgets to show you the cancer ward and the local hospital and the consequences of a life given over to tobacco. He promises things that he cannot really deliver. He promises a macho image, but all he gives is a 90-pound frail sack of a body. And many times have I visited cancer patients, and several times have I been there as they have drawn their last and fleeting breath and gone off into eternity. Why? Because the devil tricked them. Satan will show, and he'll show the beautiful woman and right next to the liquor. And he'll show that if you want to have fun and if you're going to be accepted with your friends, that you got to be able to hold a Coors or a Budweiser. By the way, your friends that do that are wimps. Depending on outward show of the flesh to make themselves look like there's something big. Dear friend, in God's eyes, they are very weak. And if you're following that crowd, so are you. And you're going right into the devil's temptation. I'm just simply saying to you, the devil says, look, you can have all the liquor you want, and you're going to have beautiful women, and you're going to be the funniest guy at the party, and you're going to be this, that, and the other. But he never shows the abandoned children crying in the corner. He never shows the children who are not fed well and who are not cared for. Oh, some of these kids over at the Sunday school this morning. You watch them as they get on the bus and as they go to class, they smile and they laugh and they have such a good time. Why? Because for those few hours, somebody's giving them real love. Well, you need to understand, Satan promises that liquor will do things that liquor cannot do. Satan promises, and he gives all of these promises. I talked to a man. And he said he kept seeing the sign with the horse on it and wagering. And he was going to go wager and wager. And his house is being repossessed today. You see, Satan promises the fast lifestyle. But dear friend, Satan is a liar and he cannot deliver.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word. And this has been Dr. Paul Chappell teaching and preaching in a series entitled Abundant Christian Living. Learning and discovering from Christ how to have the abundant life that he promised, even in the midst of difficult times. We hope today's message has been an encouragement to you, and we hope you'll tune in next time as we listen to part two of this message. If you'd like to hear this entire series, Abundant Christian Living, you can find it and more at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. On the website, you'll find links to recent broadcasts. You'll find our list of stations across the country, over 450 radio stations, where you can now hear Daily in the Word, or you can subscribe every day to the Daily Podcast and download Daily in the Word automatically to your computer or iPod or portable music player. It's very simple. It's free of charge, and you'd always have the latest editions of Daily in the Word with you on your computer or on your portable music player. All of this and much, much more is to be found at dailyintheword.org. I do want to mention we have a special gift for you when you call or write to us or contact us this month. It's a little booklet entitled Leaders Who Make a Difference, written by Dr. Chappell, and it explores the subject of how we can make a difference, making your attitude your greatest asset. This encouraging book for spiritual leaders explores the lives of three great Bible leaders and how they made an eternal difference. Your heart will be challenged by the vision of Joshua, the passion of Nehemiah, and the faith of Joseph. That's entitled Leaders Who Make a Difference, and it's yours, our gift to you, our way of saying thank you for listening when you take time to contact us this month. The easiest way to contact us is to visit us at Daily in the Word and fill out the email information and send us a note letting us know that our program is touching your life. Again, that's at dailyintheword.org. The second easiest way is probably to call toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. We would also love to receive a postcard or letter from you, and that address is simply Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. We sure hope to hear from you and to be able to send you this gift, Leaders Who Make a Difference. You'll enjoy the book. It would make a great gift for a friend. For more information about West Coast Baptist College, visit us online at westcoastbaptist.edu. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.